blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. And blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, bless. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. Bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Oh, great are you. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great.
What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. God, indeed we are blessed to be able to call on that beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Oh God, how great and awesome you are. How holy you are. How beautiful it is to be in your presence, Father God. To scan through the various cable channels or whatever streaming service you might have today, which there are a ton of, undoubtedly you have come across a multitude of restoration type programs. I very personally am very fond of the ones that are focused on home or building type renovations. Those are the ones that I enjoy. Most of you know I was in the trades in some way most of my life, so I've always been a part of that. And those are the kind of shows that I like to watch. But there are all kinds out there, whatever your interest might be, restoration of cars, even gardens where the weeds have taken control and they come in and they strip it all down and make it look like a beautiful garden again. There are some regarding like musical instruments and jukeboxes and those kind of electronics that get restored and reused. Even a show out there, maybe some of you have heard it, called Flea Market Flip. No, they're not restoring fleas. They go to the flea market where stuff is being sold, and a lot of times it's worn and tattered stuff, but people buy it and they fix it up and they restore it or repurpose it and make it into something beautiful again. It's amazing some of the things that people come up with and the ideas they have. One of the more current shows that's out there, in fact, there's only one season available right now, but I enjoy a show called Restoration Road. And in that show, it's hosted by a gentleman by the name of Clint Harp. Maybe some of you have heard of Clint. He was part of the Joanna Gaines Fixer Upper Network for a very long time. He was their carpenter, their go-to guy to build tables and stuff. He has this show called Restoration Road. And he goes around the country and he follows these restoration projects of these old buildings. And it's usually some sort of old barn or gristmill or log cabin. There's some other projects that they do as well, but it's something along those lines. Of course, like any of those good restoration shows, at the beginning you see a structure that is just very well worn and tattered and just falling apart, so to speak. I know these pictures are dark, but hopefully you can kind of see it's an old log cabin. When they first walked up on it in this particular episode, there was so much foliage and greenery around it, you couldn't even see that there was a cabin there. First thing they had to do was go in and clean everything out and get it ready. And then you see how that structure is in just desperate need of repair. So like all of these shows, a team of experts comes in, right? And they kind of survey the situation and they look at the structure, they look at what is there, and they begin to make a plan of what they can do with this. And in this case, most of the time they wind up dismantling the entire structure. One piece at a time, they take it apart. And most of these are like post and beam construction. If you know anything about that, there's no nails or screws. There's wood dowels and wood fasteners, and they have to take all of that apart. And they look at it very carefully. They label it. They make sure they know where every piece belongs so that when it comes time to put it back together, they can rebuild it in the same way that it stood originally. While they're in the process of all of this, the other thing they do is they clean everything and they check it for any kind of damage or any wear that might be there. And sometimes they'll find a section that needs to be repaired. Sometimes they have to cut something out and piece something new in or replace something entirely. The amazing thing is you can't tell it when they're done. They use some of the same construction methods and stuff. They use the same types of wood, the oaks and the cedars and the ash that may have been used earlier, and they replace these sections beautifully so that they fit right into the rest of the project. It's just amazing some of the detail they work, some of the precision that they have in restoring these things. And at the end of the show, which in reality is, of course, months and months and months later, we see it in 45 minutes or an hour, but it's months and months down the road, sometimes over a year down the road, they show you the completed restructure and how it's been restored and revealed. And again, in this particular case, it's very similar to what it was in the beginning. It's a beautiful log cabin structure. Here they were going to be actually using it for a little bed and breakfast type place. Gorgeous the way they turn out. It's been repurposed. It's been revived. It's been brought back to life, and it is stunning. Absolutely stunning. Over and over and over again, no matter what the structure is. And the thing that I love about this particular show is they try to maintain as much of the original portions of the structure as they can. Most of them are 100 plus years old. This one, I think, was close to 200 years old. I mean, the age of these structures and everything they have been through, and sometimes they share a backstory of who built it or what the symbol of the structure was. So keeping all of that intact to me is just amazing. No matter what your interests are, no matter what you like, you'll find a restoration show for just about anything. They'll take a once beautiful car or boat or anything else that you can find out there, and they will restore it to its original beauty. It's a shame that some of these things wind up sitting in such a dilapidated state, that they find themselves falling into disrepair. You know, that doesn't happen overnight. For some reason, the structure or the car or whatever it was neglected for a period of time. And after years of that neglect, or in some cases, mismanagement, whatever it is, they look like that first picture I showed you. They look worn and tattered and fallen apart and almost useless. Sometimes they fall into disrepair simply because they're not treated with the respect that they deserve and with the care that they need. Other times somebody tries to renovate them but does it incorrectly, does a poor job, treats it, again, a way it shouldn't be treated, a way it was never designed to be treated. And I'm sure there's more of us here today like me that love to be a part of those types of projects. You know, I have often over my years dreamt of being in a home repair flip, house flip kind of business. I love breathing new life into old things in that way, to be able to buy a structure and just bring it back to its beauty, taking something old and restoring it, making it look brand new again, giving it the life, the purpose that it once had once again, and seeing others enjoy it. There is a ton of reward in being part of something like that. There truly is. So all of that being said, how many of us realize that we are all called to be restorers in some way, shape, or form? We are called, every one of us listening today, every one of us sitting here today, we are called to be restorers. Now, I'm not necessarily talking of physical goods, like houses or barns or cars or whatever. I'm talking about restorers of people. Restorers of our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members. Restorers of people. There are many, many people all around us today that are in some cases in need of desperate restoration. Their once spiritual beauty has for some reason began to fade. For some reason began to ebb away. For some reason has been neglected. It's no longer in the same state that it once was. And they have fallen into disrepair, so to speak. That attractive appearance that they once had is hidden, or unfortunately in some cases gone. And there's a tired look about them now instead of that beautiful, spiritual, radiant look that they once had. When that disrepair happens in a person, as that process starts, if it's not corrected, if they're not addressed, they drift further and further and further away. Even moving away from their source of restoration, their source of hope. There's no question that COVID has become a big, convenient excuse for a lot of people. A lot of things are blamed on COVID. It's become, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, folks, or it wasn't a problem. I'm saying it's become a convenient excuse for a lot of things. A seemingly justifiable reason to separate ourselves from our spiritual recharge station, our spiritual restoration shop. Really, the whole world, not just our immediate surroundings, but truly over the whole world, people that once were plugged in and a vibrant part of the church family have drifted away and lost the tender care that they need for maintaining that spiritual beauty that they once possessed. Of course, COVID is not the only reason for something like this happening. People get disconnected all the time for various reasons. They get mad, they get upset, all these different issues come to the surface and their spiritual life begins to deteriorate. Hurt feelings, anger, worldly pressure, false teachings, all these things begin to surface and erode that spiritual beauty that once existed. Just like a car or a house, if our spiritual presence, if our spiritual beauty is not maintained properly, our condition will begin to wear. It'll begin to slip and fade. Eventually, if left long enough, it will fall into disrepair. And what once was incredibly important now isn't even thought about. We're concerned about anymore. And this is where all of us come into play in this whole big scenario. This is where we become restoration experts. And that's in restoring the people that we come in contact with. We are the ones that are supposed to help restore that worn vessel. We are the ones who are supposed to help bring beauty back to that spiritual life that once flourished. Let's look at a couple of scriptural examples this morning. Paul gives us a little scenario here. He gives us instruction for those that are starting to fade, starting to feel weary, starting to falter a little bit, if you will. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. says very clearly, encourage one another and build each other up. If you were to dive into that whole chapter and read through it all and look at it, Paul is talking about end times, and he's talking about encouraging people to make it through to the end times. People becoming tired, people beginning to question, people beginning to stumble or stagger. And Paul is saying, encourage your brethren and help them so that they can keep on walking, so that they can keep on moving, so they can get the occasional polish that they need. Help them to maintain that spiritual beauty. Continue to be plugged in. Continue to be connected. Continue to be recharged. What happens to those who have already slipped outside of our current view, so to speak? Those that maybe we saw all the time and now don't see anymore. Maybe those that were bright and vibrant that now when you do happen to see them, they're dull and stressed. What happens in cases like that? For whatever reason they come up with, for whatever excuse they may muster, if they have drifted away, if they have fallen into that disrepair, so to speak, then we need to look at what James tells us to do. James chapter 5 gives us some pretty clear instruction. Verses 19 and 20. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Our job is to help restore that individual, help restore that person, to bring them back, and by doing so, cover over a multitude of sin. Now, understand, we cannot change people. You do not have the power and the ability to do. I do not have the power and ability to do that. I can encourage people. I can talk to people. I can show them the way. I can give them advice. I can even point them in the direction to go. But God and God alone can change people. Now, He uses us to speak to people. He uses us to encourage people. But God does the changing. And if restoration is going to occur, God is the one that is going to do it in that person's life. But He asks us to be a part of that restoration process. He looks for people to work through. Sometimes that means we have to become the carpenter or the mechanic or the gardener. Remember last week we talked about Moses and the burning bush? God could have appeared to anybody, but He knew Moses was a willing heart. And so He appeared to Moses and drew Moses to Him and said, Moses, this is my plan and I want to use you. God's doing the same thing for us. God's saying, hey, I got a plan. How many of you are willing to be a part of it? How many of you are willing to allow me to work through you? God's got some incredible plans if we'll give Him an opportunity. And sometimes He's calling us to be the tool He uses to speak to that wayward, struggling brother or sister in Christ. Let's look at a couple of things that James says in the text we just read. First words he says are, my brothers. Why is that important? Because this is direction to the church. This is not direction to the world at large. This is direction to the church family. Listen, family, there are other members of our family who are not here today, who are not here anymore, that need some help and some encouragement. How many of us as family are willing to reach out to other family members to encourage them? That's what James is talking about. Family reaching out to family. Family reaching out to encourage each other. You know, you ask just about anybody how important their family is to them. And a majority of people are going to say probably the most important thing in their lives is their family. Do we say that as a church family? We may not be related by blood. We are related by blood. We are family, folks. We are to help each other's? We are to help each other. Encourage each other. Whatever their reason, no matter why they have wandered or walked or slipped or drifted from the truth, we are to reach out and help them. That's what James has said. There's a lot of people around us, folks, that need help. A lot of people around us. I'm not just saying people that have come and gone from sanctuary. There are Christians, there are believers out there who have been plugged into ministries all over this community that are no longer serving for some reason. There are people all around us that are a part of our family as believers. And we need to reach out to them. Again, no question, COVID did a number on people. We came up with these different alternate ways to worship together, right? We came up with online services, and we got plugged in via Zoom and all these different things. But you know what? The longer that distant connection occurred, the harder and harder and harder it has been for people to reestablish that face-to-face connection. It's become more and more difficult for people. People have become very comfortable going to church in their pajamas because they can do that in their living room. They can do that sitting at their breakfast table. They don't have to worry about having the latest fashion or doing their makeup or you know, they can sleep in till 3 minutes before the service starts. It's become real easy. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's a place for online worship. There's a place for that. That's all good and wonderful. I have no issue with that whatsoever. If I did, we wouldn't do it. Online worship, online church is a beautiful avenue. But in-person, in-face-to-face fellowship is unbelievably important. And that reconnection needs to occur. It needs to be established. Again, I liken it to other rehab work. And the more we neglect growing together in fellowship, the harder the restoration will eventually become. Because we need that in-person fellowship as well. We face a whole series of moral issues in our society today. And as a church, we've developed our own opinions about some of these moral issues. And again, I'm not saying as a church sanctuary. I'm talking as a church as a whole. We've decided we know best on some of these moral issues, and we don't need to look at the written word anymore and what it says. We've decided we have the answer. And unfortunately, when we make decisions like that, we begin to neglect the one thing that helps us stay plugged in to the greatest restorer of all. We don't know better than God. We want to make everybody feel comfortable. We want to make everybody feel like they belong and they fit in. And we want to justify all these different things. And some of that is okay, folks, but we got to be real careful because we walk a real thin line. And when we start contradicting the Word of God, we're going to wind up looking like the first picture of that log cabin. Falling apart, dilapidated, broken down, useless. We cannot continue to neglect the Word of God and thrive. That doesn't work together. We begin sometimes to compromise, and when that happens, we begin to drift away, and we lose out on the maintenance that we need so desperately as people. If mature believers are doing their part, when we see that drifting begin to occur in somebody, we are told to gently, humbly, lovingly work to bring restoration to that wayward believer. Again, remembering God has to do the real work there. God isn't the one that really has to make the change, but He asks us to be a part of that. He asks us to be that paintbrush that spreads that new beautiful paint. He asks us to be the tool, the instrument of His choosing that's used to help in that restoration process. Paul wrote to the Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." Pretty plain there. Paul is obviously talking about someone who is blatantly caught in sin and addressing and dealing with that sin. He's not necessarily talking about the gradual drifting away. He's talking about a very obvious, very straightforward sin that needs to be dealt with. But the whole part that we're called to is the same. Gently call them to account. Gently restore them. Gently reach out to them and minister to them. Conversation is a two-way street. Really is. Goes both ways, does it not? When we confront people, when we address people, do we understand that their reception of what's being said and the way we say it are equally important? Equally important? Would you rather have someone tell you to shut up or please be quiet? What would you prefer to hear? It accomplishes the same thing, communicates the same thing, but in two very different ways. One is harsh and stern and negative, and one is gentle and loving and caring. The way we communicate is incredibly important. We have to be gentle. James makes another comment in the text we read from his book. It says, someone should bring him back. Someone should bring that wayward believer back. Why is that important? Because that word someone speaks to anyone who is a believer in Jesus Christ. James was not saying that it's a pastor's job or a religious leader's job or a priest's job or an elder's job. James said, any one of you that are mature believers in Christ are called to help restore that individual. So you cannot sit back and see a person who is sliding away and go, oh man, I got to call the pastor and tell them. He needs to do something about that. I need to let him know he's not done his job with so-and-so. It's your job to encourage, to restore, to lead and teach. Any believer is able to do that. We need to be careful in the midst of that restoration project that we don't make this something that we want it to be. When we see somebody that has slid off to the side, so to speak, we cannot make it our mission to restore them the way we think it should be done. Let me give you an example again. Restoring houses, I talked about that earlier. If I were to buy a house with the intention to flip it or to fix it and sell it, is basically what that means. If I were to buy a house and go in and renovate that house, I can't do it the way I want to do it. If I go in and decorate in the style that I like or the things that I like, I'm going to narrow down what happens with that house. I have to be open to what everybody is looking for in terms of the home sale market. Don't try to make this spiritual. I mean, I'm talking about a house here. My goal is to sell it quickly. Be open so that I do what needs to be done to move that house on. When it comes to restoring somebody spiritually, it's not about making them who we think they should be. It's about listening to God. And let God work through us. And let God do what God wants to do in that person's life. And here's the hard part. It doesn't matter if that person has wronged us personally or not. It doesn't matter what hurt feelings we have from that person. This isn't the time to force that person to ask for forgiveness or to seek for... This is not about you. It's not about me. It's about God bringing restoration to a wandering soul. That's what matters. Trust me, God will take care of the rest of that stuff. In their life, in my life, in your life, He'll take care of the rest of the little details. But we cannot worry about painting the walls when the foundation is sinking. We have to restore the foundation first. God has to restore the foundation first. We're just the jack to push it up a little bit. God's going to actually do the work. Our job is to encourage one another, to build each other up. That's what 1 Thessalonians told us, right? That's our job. Not making so-and-so go apologize to so-and-so or so-and-so take responsibility for what they did. It's our job to be obedient vessels that God uses, in this case, for restoration. James says if we are willing to do that, if we're willing to be a part of that, if we're willing to let God use us in that way, then we can turn a sinner from the error of his ways and cover over a multitude of sins. Again, understanding God does it, we're the vessel, right? Please don't misunderstand me in that. We don't actually return somebody to salvation. God does. He restores them completely. But whoever is willing to be a part of that, God will use. Could you imagine? Now, I don't know that this will ever happen. I'm going to throw out a scenario here. Could you imagine when life on this earth comes to an end and you have to stand before God? Could you imagine how incredible it would be for God to look you in the eyes and go, "Thank you. Thank you for being that willing, obedient vessel. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring and loving and gently restoring these people, because these two, these four, these 50 are here because you obeyed my command." Could you imagine standing in God's presence and hearing Him say that to you. There is a certain amount of joy that comes from being a part of a restoration project, house, car, garden, whatever it is. When you can step back and say, man, would you look at that? Would you see how beautiful that is again? I got to be a part of this project. I got to be a part of making that look nice again. All of you that were a part of the gathering place and restoring that ministry center, how beautiful it looks today. You can step back and say, I was a part of that. I got to help with that. How amazing that is. Imagine how much more incredible it will feel when you're talking about the restoration of a life. When you're talking about seeing somebody turn from their state of disrepair back to following and worshiping and serving and standing firm with God Almighty. There is an incredible amount of joy in that. So I'm going to encourage you this week to do something that maybe you've never ever done before. Maybe. I am going to encourage you this week, when you pray, when you spend time with the Lord this week, I want you to very specifically ask Him who it is you're supposed to reach out to, who it is you're supposed to help restore in their spiritual walk. Who does God want you to use to touch and change and minister to? If you will openly, honestly, sincerely do that, I guarantee He will give you a name. I guarantee He will show you somebody. I guarantee He will point something out that He wants you to be a part of. Several years ago now, there was an unbelievable good movie that came out called War Room. Many of you will remember War Room. It was an amazing movie. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It's good. And in the closing scene, at the end of that movie, we see Miss Clara, one of the main figures of that movie, do something incredible. She goes into her prayer closet. She gets down on her knees and she has one of the most powerful prayers you could imagine. But at the very beginning of the prayer, she says this. She says, guide me to who You want me to help. Without giving the whole movie away, she had just been a part of that in somebody's life. And now she's saying, God, give me another one. Show me the next person. Whose life do You want me to help restore and get back on track and bring about that beauty once again? I encourage you to pray that prayer. Ask God. And I guarantee you He will do that for you. And He will use you to help restore those that have gone astray. But you also have to do one other thing. When God tells you who it is, no matter who it is, you have to ask God to give you a gentle, loving, merciful heart so that you can help whoever it is walk that road of restoration. Because it takes a gentle, loving, kind, merciful heart to be able to speak the right words at the right time and to see that individual restored. Pray those things this week and you will see some amazing beauty begin to unfold before your very eyes. Lord, I thank You, first of all, that You give us the opportunity of restoration. We wouldn't be here if You didn't. We wouldn't be here if You weren't in the business of making the old new. God, I thank You. I thank You that You have changed our lives. I thank You that You have restored the old dilapidated me that stands here this morning. God, I pray that you would use us to restore others. You would use us to speak gentle, kind words to those that are all around us so that they too might once again be who you have called them to be. Return to you. Restore that walk and that relationship with you. Let that spiritual beauty, Lord, be just shining through once again. Lord, perhaps there are some here that realize they need to once again be restored. I pray that you would continue to work in their hearts, Lord. Continue to teach them. Lord, I pray that you would begin to put together those that you want together, the restorer and the one needing restoration. Lord, as your people cry out, as your people ask for who to help, who to reach out to, who to talk to, God, would you begin to make those connections? Would you begin to make it clear? And would you begin to use every one of us to be the instruments you want us to be to restore the hearts and lives of people all around us? Help us to be obedient in that, Lord. And I begin, or I ask, or I say, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of that process. Even before you've begun to do the work, thank you for what you can and will do if we allow you to. Thank you for working through us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is no like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity.